Last month, Clark Annette visited the John Rylands University Library on Deansgate in central Manchester to visit their new exhibition, A Small Eternity, The Shape of the Sonnet Through Time. The John Rylands University Library is one of Manchester's treasures. It houses some very significant historical books and artifacts, such as a fragment from the St. John's Gospel and several medieval illuminated manuscripts. The library is also home to the Clark Annette Archive, which contains papers relating to the press, including manuscripts, proofs, and correspondence between poets, agents, editors, and translators, as well as materials relating to the magazine PN Review. The Sonnets exhibition featured many of Clark Annette's own authors, including Edwin Morgan, Greg Delante, Vikram Seth, Anthony Burgess, Lorna Goodison, and Elizabeth Jennings. The exhibition also includes poets from the past such as Francesco Petrarch, Thomas Wyatt, and Henry Howard, Earl of Surrey, whose work has been published in Clark Annette's Five Field series. Stella Halkyard is a modern literary archivist at the library and the curator of the Sonnets exhibition. She discusses here some of the exhibition's highlights. Also featured are several poems from the exhibition read by Michael Schmidt, editorial and managing director of Clark Annette.
The Sonnet exhibition was put together because 2009 is the 400th anniversary first edition of the first publication of Shakespeare's sonnets, and that's a very, very rare book, and the library has a copy, so we wanted to celebrate the sonnet. But instead of kind of thinking of the sonnet as being something that was stuck in the past and not relevant in contemporary life, we decided to look at a range of different writers and their sonnets, from the earliest sonneteers, people like Petrarch, right the way up to the present. So we included people like Vikram Seth and Greg Delante. One of my favourite sonneteers, though, is in fact the poet Petrarch, and we've got one of our most lavishly illuminated manuscripts on display. Petrarch's credited with the person of turning the sonnet into an art form. His use of the sonnet as a form was virtuoso. Portrait of him sitting in his study, scribbling away his sonnets in the body of the text of his sonnets, and he's been struck in the heart by Cupid's arrow. And his lady love, Laura, is represented in the margin, and she too has been shot with the arrow of love. And it's all written by hand. It's written on vellum, on animal skin, and it has then been lavishly illuminated with lapis lazuli. There's a lot of blue on there, and gold. These are the colours of the most expensive manuscripts, because lapis lazuli would have had to have travelled a long way from the Himalayas. So it's a very lavishly illuminated manuscript, and it contains the first sonnet of the sequence from his Canzoni. Next to it, it's known as Tottle's Miscellany. And what you see here is a portrait of the poet Thomas Wyatt, who, along with Henry Howard, the Earl of Surrey, these two men are credited with bringing the sonnet form to England. So this is the earliest printed text that contains some of their sonnets. The portrait is taken from an engraving by the artist Holbein, who was the court painter to King Henry VIII. The book's been rebound. It's one of Lord Spencer's books, so it's from one of the foundation items in the collection. So it's a really special, dear little book. And I've been really sneaky because the obviously a very famous Thomas Wyatt poem, but it's not actually in this book. They're not actually ascribed to the writers, so some of the poems that the book claims are by Wyatt aren't Wyatt, and people thought for a time these were Wyatt's.
Sonnet, a translation of Petrarch. Whoso list to hunt, I know where is an hind, but as for me, alas, I may no more. The vain travail hath wearied me so sore. I am of them that farthest cometh behind. Yet may I by no means my wearied mind draw from the deer, but as she fleeth afore, fainting I follow. I leave off, therefore, since in a net I seek to hold the wind. Who list her hunt, I put him out of doubt, as well as I may spend his time in vain, and graven with diamonds in letters plain, that is written her fair neck round about. Noli me tangere, for Caesar's I am, and wild for to hold, though I seem tame.
And then these were other famous sonneteers from the early kind of stages of the sonnet, like Milton. So his first sonnets appeared in this book. So that's the first collection of poems that he had published in 1645, and that rather hideous portrait of it was done by an engraver who was in a rival faction. And then we've got John Donne back there, some of his holy sonnets. That's the first edition of his poetry, which was published shortly after he died. So there's this sort of odd notion of authorship there. That was put together after his death. Mm-hmm. That's 1597. That's Spencer's Amoretti. It's just the most fantastic little book. And it's got italic in it as well. So italic type was invented by Aldus Manutius in Venice. But we've got the largest collection of Aldines in the world here in the library. So it was so nice to find a bit of italic.
This little book is the reason why the exhibition was put together and curated. It's showing Sonnet 18, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? And it was produced by a printer during Shakespeare's lifetime in 1609. And it's the first edition of the first ever edition of Shakespeare's sonnets to have been published. There's 13 copies of this in the world, so it's a very rare book. And it's sitting next to the first edition of the first folio of Shakespeare's plays, which, again, is a very special book. It shows that wonderful portrait of Shakespeare with his incredibly bald head that we all know and love. It dates from 1623, so it was produced shortly after his death. It was compiled by other people, and both of these things were on display alongside the Grafton portrait. In fact, in the 18 years I've worked in the library, it's the first time that these three things have been out on display, or in fact that they've been out on display together. The Grafton portrait, we can't claim is a portrait of Shakespeare at all, and in fact the library doesn't claim that. But people have thought that it was connected to Shakespeare, and it's dated 1588. During the 1580s and 90s, Shakespeare seems to fall off the map completely and nobody knows where he is. So this idea that he spent time in Lancashire is one of the theories for what he was up to and where he was, and that he was connected to some of the landed gentry in the area and that he became a Roman Catholic. And this portrait has been connected to that idea of Shakespeare's time in Lancashire. The portrait shows a very handsome young man who has actually been excavated from a lot of dirt and filth that used to cover him, because the portrait's been conserved by the National Portrait Gallery in London. So he's looking very resplendent in his red robes and very handsome. Then, amazingly, we didn't have the earliest edition of Astrophel and Stella by Sir Philip Sidney, who, of course, is another guy. So we were able to use one of the proofs from the Carcanet archive to represent Sidney. And then we've got an ante or a broken back sonnet with Edwin Morgan. That kind of phrase, I have nothing to say, and I am saying it, came from John Cage. So he's playing with the idea of 14 words and 14 lines. And so it's not literally a sonnet in a conventional sense. And we've got some Lorna Goodison. So over here we have Elizabeth. She had to come in. This was an opportunity to show some of the stages in the manufacturing process of a collection of poems.
Beach by Elizabeth Jennings. They will not go. These leaves insist on staying. Coinage like theirs looked frail 6 weeks ago. What hintings at? Excitement of delaying. Almost as if some richer fruits could grow, if leaves hung on against each swipe of storm, if branches bent but still did not give way. Today is brushed with sun, the leaves are warm. I picked one from the pavement, and it lay with borrowed shining on my winter hand. Persistence of this nature sends the pulse beating more rapidly. When will it end, that pride of leaves? When will the branches be utterly bare, and seem like something else, now half forgotten, no part of a tree?
Special thanks goes to the John Ryland University Library. The magazine article, Wild for to Hold, Liberating the Sonnet from All Corners of the Archive, by Stella Halkyard, features in the 2009 May-June issue of PN Review.